I have a little thought on my mind today from Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62 is a prophecy of God's church that he would establish in the latter days when he came to earth, and he did that. And back then, the type that pointed to that was Jerusalem. It was the people of God and the way that they worshipped, the place where God dwelt in that temple that was in Jerusalem. And so they were very very jealous over Jerusalem. They didn't want an enemy to get it. And whenever the enemy did carry away the beautiful things out of the temple, and they took the gold and they stripped it of all of its ornaments and all of the wonderful things that were part of it, it was an awful thing. And they were told by God to pray for it, for Jerusalem, to pray that the Lord would restore it. They were sent off into heathen lands, and they were to pray. They were to set their faces toward Jerusalem. And you know the story of Daniel and the lions. What was Daniel doing whenever he was found out by the evil men? He was praying with his face toward Jerusalem, as they were told to do. Take us back, bring us back to our place of your rest. So here we have that, and we have it, though, that it points forward to the health and the prosperity and the state of peace of spiritual Jerusalem, which is us, God's people, him dwelling in our hearts. And he's saying here in verse 1, for Zion's sake, will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Now we can take this as words from God's mouth, that he doesn't rest, he won't quit, Jesus said, I've prayed for you. He told that to Peter, but I believe it means all of us. I believe that Jesus said in John 17, I pray not for the world, but I pray for these who will believe through the word of my disciples. He prays for the church. I believe this. You can take this as from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. I won't rest till these things be established, till the gospel goes to the whole world, till the Zion is like a bright lamp, and salvation is through the whole world. That's what Jesus said. And we know that Jesus says that. We know that when Jesus went to heaven and he ascended there after his resurrection, what did he go there to do? Where does he sit and where does he stay now, and what does he do? Jesus is at the right hand of God. It says in Hebrews, it says, he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So he's there praying for us, for his church. He doesn't ever rest. He never holds his peace. He constantly prays for us. So you could take that in this way. But remember, it was also a prophet. It was also one of God's ministers who had that same zeal. He had that burden too. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. I will not rest until he has made Jerusalem a praise in the earth. He wants the righteousness to go forth and for there to be a lamp and light that shines out to the world. It says, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. He's talking here about the church, how that there would be people added to it, and that happened on the day of Pentecost. Remember last Sunday we read how that there were 3,000 souls added that day? This is what Jesus was praying about. This is what the prophet pointed to, was that there would be souls added. Did you know there are still souls being added today? You say, well, we don't see it so much here, but in other parts of the world. I was reading not too long ago, and it was saying that what is the fastest growing religion in Iran? Guess, Christianity. people are leaving the Muslim religion. People might not tell you this today. You might not hear this from your media, but this is what people are doing today. Over in foreign lands where the darkness has been so bad, people are coming to Christ. There are people that are being saved. Brother Michael Smith has been over in Africa, in Kenya, and in Malawi. Hundreds attending. Hundreds. 300, 400, 500 people walking miles to come and hear the gospel. And we know that's a trend that I believe that God is behind, because he knows the end of time is soon. But the Lord is dealing with people all over the world. Now in our nation, we might not see it so much, but I believe if we, this morning, the message, if we'll take it to heart, we might see more here. Let's go on. He says, "Thou shalt be a crown, thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God." Now, it would take a long time for me to go through all of these verses and tell the precious things that I see here. The Lord's desire for his church and for his people, how he rejoices over you, how he fosters you, how he nurtures you, he blesses your soul, he visits you, because he wants you to be this way in his sight. And you are this way. You're precious to him. You're a peculiar treasure, a chosen, protected, guarded treasure to the Lord, you who are his people. You little ones, you older ones, those of you who pray to him and trust in him, this is why you are in his sight. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah and thy land Beulah. Hephzibah means my delight is in her. He's talking here about his church. He delights in his people. The Lord delights in thee, and thy land shall be married. What that means is not cast away, not in shame, not in bitterness, not in widowhood, not in loneliness. But he said, you will be called married, or you will be joined to the Lord. You will be in communion with him. You will be in close relationship with the Lord. Jesus is called the bridegroom, and his people are called the bride in a spiritual way. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. What that means is, as far as the land of Beulah, it means thy sons shall dwell in thee. We dwell this morning in a beautiful land called Beulah, spiritually, when we are joined to the Lord. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Then he says in verse 6, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now we've thought about some of the scriptures this morning. We've already mentioned from the New Testament, John 17, and the places there where it speaks about the Holy Spirit and how Jesus is interceding, and the Holy Spirit intercedes, brings back to us what he has said, and he brings to him, to God, what we are saying. But now he says, you who make mention of the Lord, you watchmen, you say, well, that's taken care of, that's the preachers. But did you know that we're all to have this office? We're all to be watchmen. And you say, well, what does that mean? We watch out and we warn other people. And well, this one in this verse is a little bit more personal. It's called, well, let me see. Ye that make mention of the Lord. The way this was in the original language, it says, ye that are the Lord's remembrancers. A remembrancer is someone who reminds somebody of something. And I believe this scripture today is a challenge to all of us. You that make mention of the Lord, you that remind the Lord. There's two ways I can take this as I see it. You that make mention of the Lord to people, who remind others of the Lord, make mention of Him, remind others of His doings, of what He has done. Share the gospel. Preach the gospel. Tell of His wonders. I believe one of the verses this morning said something about tell of His wonders. Ye that make mention of the Lord. It's not just the preachers. It's all of us. All of us can, when we're out and about and to our friends and to people on the street, you're going to be coming across many, many people who have needs. They need the Lord. People need the Lord. He said, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. I don't think that means that we have to just constantly be talking all the time, wearing people out with. But what I think it means is for us to never decide, well, I'm just not going to say anything to anybody. I'm giving up. I'm not going to talk about. I think this means in this place, one of the meanings of this is be willing, be ready to give an answer to people who ask you. Don't just put it out of mind and think, oh, I'm not a preacher, I don't need to talk to people. Don't just decide you're not going to share of the Lord, but be ready to share. Have a readiness and a witness in your heart all the time. And I believe if we do that, the Lord will give us many more opportunities. Scripture says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. My dad always said that means buying up opportunities, making opportunities, creating opportunities. Well, that's one way, but I believe there's another way that we, every one of us, and this has been a real challenge to me. It's really convicted me, actually. I've asked the Lord to forgive me because I really believe that I've not grasped this concept as I should. Maybe partly, but not as I should, not as I see it here today. He said, ye that make mention of the Lord, ye that are the Lord's remembrancers. How can we be the Lord's remembrancers? Through prayer. How, he says here, give Him no rest. Don't hold your peace. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the Lord does something. What does he say? Until the righteousness of Jerusalem goes forth as brightness, and salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And he says, give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Those people back there who were in captivity, they were to pray that the Lord would restore Jerusalem, that the Lord would bring it back to its glory. They were to constantly pray. And I remember in Haggai where they had let their energies burn low. They had come back, but they weren't really zealous about the Lord's house. Everyone started building their own house. And he reprimanded them, didn't he? He said, "You, every one of you dwell in houses with nice ceilings now, but the Lord's house is out there and the rain's dripping in, and it's a mess." That's what he told them. He said, now, he said, you complain because you're trying to get ahead and you're trying to prosper, and I'm not letting you prosper because you haven't put the Lord's work first. So he reprimanded them. Here he said, don't rest. Don't hold your peace. Never hold your peace, day or night. Ye that are the Lord's remembrancers, keep not silence. And give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Are we troubled this morning because of problems that we see? And because of, I get troubled many times in prayer. I get troubled about division. I get troubled about why aren't God's people all together? And why are problems here and problems there? Why can't Christians be holy and pure if they profess it? What's wrong? And he's saying here, Don't just give up and say, well, I guess it's that way. But pray about it. Constantly remind the Lord. Constantly come to the Lord and say, Lord, you established a people. You meant for your salvation to go forth. You meant for us to be holy. You meant for us to be together. Lord, I want to remind you this is what you died for. Lord, bring us together. Lord, sometimes we get, I have before, and just said, well, it's what they want to do. Let them do it. Let them go. This says, don't give him rest. Don't give the Lord any rest. That means be persistent. Don't just quit and give up and say, this is the way it's going to be. Remind the Lord of what he came for. Lord, you came to make people one. You came to save people, and not only to save them, but to give them a knowledge of the truth. Lord, bless your people as they go forth with the word of God. And as our prayers begin to mount up, the Lord will move us to action. The Lord will give us burdens. The Lord will, he'll bring us opportunities. He will help us to be remembrancers of him to other people. But as the little saying goes, you get down on your knees and talk to God about people. Then you go out and talk to people about God. We can't do the work of the Lord really as we should unless we join with him in his work in prayer. As he ever lives to make intercession for us, it says here, let's see, 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, for we are laborers together with God. He wants us to join in his work. His work is to see souls saved. He wants us to join with him in that. And then 2 Corinthians 6 says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. But here twice he says, Paul says, we're laborers, we're workers together with Christ. We really can't do his work. And I believe that's one thing that's hindered me, is I haven't availed myself of this power of being a remembrancer to the Lord and reminding him and not giving him rest and not giving up my prayers and my zeal and my desire for Zion, for the truth's sake, for the church to go forth as she should. I've just kind of said, oh, well, it's the way it is. That's the way people want to be. I believe he's challenging me here, us today, too. Let's not be satisfied and think, okay, there's nobody going to be saved. Nobody's going to come here. Let's remind the Lord. Lord, you've promised. You've promised to bless your people. You've promised to bring these in from the Gentiles to be saved and for kings to come. Let's get down and remind the Lord even more and not give up and not just let the matter rest. Oh, well, you know, if somebody's going to be saved, they're going to be saved. No, he said, you're the Lord's remembrancers. Don't give him rest. Don't let up. Don't give up. Don't just say, I quit. It's not going to work anyway. I prayed and prayed. No, just keep praying. Keep praying for your loved ones. Keep praying for souls to be saved. Keep praying for the truth to go forth. We can pray for the Bible translators. Pray that they'll interpret God's word accurately so that when they send those translations out, that they will be the truth. I didn't realize there was such an importance in translations, but there is an importance in the words being right, the gospel being right when it goes forth to the heathen. So, well, you say, well, I can't do anything about that. I don't know the language over there in the islands of the Pacific, but somebody's working on it. We can pray. We can pray for these things. And you say, well, how can I pray? I'm working. I'm changing diapers. I'm doing dishes. I'm cooking. We can remind the Lord of things little at a time, all through the day. So a thought come to your mind? Just think about it. You think of worrisome thoughts sometimes. You think of dreams of this earth thoughts sometimes. Why can't we think of the kingdom? Lord, for your kingdom's sake, Lord, be with so-and-so today. It doesn't take long to, you don't even have to say it in your mind. But all through the day, remind the Lord. Remind the Lord of his promises. Remind him of his goodness, of his plans, of his salvation that avails. and bring that before the Lord and say, Lord, I want that for my family. You've promised this. Think of things in the past that He has brought to your mind, that He's helped you with. And remind Him now in your times of trouble. Lord, I want to remind you of how you did this. I want to bring this to... And you know, as you remind the Lord, really, it's us reminding ourselves. It's us building up ourselves on faith. It's us expecting better and greater things from the Lord constantly. Our minds constantly on, Lord, I just want more. I want more of you. When you have a moment through the day, just take your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want more of you in my life. I want you to take more of me. Use more of me, Lord. Bless and just be praying constantly through the day. Lord, cause your work to prosper. Bless others in the world today, over in other countries. Bring people to you. We think other thoughts anyway. We think thoughts many times that don't have anything to do with the task that we're doing. And I've thought about that many times. I've thought, you know, dishes, I'm doing dishes. It's a good time to pray. It's a good time to have our minds just seeking the Lord. And for Christmas this year, I brought home from one of our gatherings, I brought home a little list, put people on the list, and it's right there in the kitchen. And I've told myself there is no reason why, as you're working, you can't just look at one of those names and be praying for that person as you work. So I'm reminding Angela all the time, turn your mind to the Lord. And it's working. It's helping me to have a focus and direction in my prayers. He said in one place, Paul, I think it's Ephesians 6, verse 18, he had been talking about the armor. And then he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So here we have nearly the same call in the New Testament. And you say, how can I do this? Another place in 1 Thessalonians 5, is it, where he said, pray without ceasing. Another place he says, he talks about bringing the sacrifice of praise continually. And many times, I'll have to confess, I've just thought, I just don't know how you can do that. I don't know how you can pray all the time like that. But I found out that we can. It may not be every second. And of course, we're asleep at night. We sleep soundly. We're not thinking. But I found that if I look in the things of God right before I go to sleep, maybe look at a verse, or maybe as I'm going to sleep, send up a prayer and say, Lord, thank you. Many times it's thanksgiving, but sometimes it is a prayer. Remember someone who's in need. But be ready. Be ready when you wake up in the night. Train your mind to look to the Lord. Lord, thank you. And then, Lord, I want you to direct my mind and my heart. Is there anything that I need to pray about? And if you do that, the Lord will bring something to your mind. He'll bring a thought to your mind. And then you can pray about that. Maybe you'll drift back off to sleep and it happened again. Wake up again and immediately, Lord, I want to seek you. I want you to dwell in me. Or be, maybe think about a verse from His Word. Commune with Him and He will commune with us. He says, you do this, pray always, watching. And then in verse 19, he said, and for me, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. When you know that someone is, well, we can just know that always there is someone today preaching somewhere in many places. Someone today is giving the word, bringing the word to people. If we can think of it and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to think of it more often. But bless that one. Bless the word today. Bless the gospel where it's going forth. Let it go forth, what did he say? With boldness, and make known the mystery of the gospel. Lord, help him to make it clear. Bless the minister who may be struggling today. Well, let me go back here to 62, make sure we covered everything here. Oh, I know one. We read just either last night or the night before about the four beasts in the book of Revelation, chapter 4. And it said, I caught this, it said, they rest not, Revelation 4 and 8, they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And I thought about that at one point. I thought, now what? How in the world am I going to get any sleep if I took this literally and I didn't rest, but I just constantly said, holy, holy, holy. But I'm thinking, if this is speaking, which I believe it is a representative symbol of all the redeemed through all the earth. If those of us on this side of the hemisphere, we're in the daytime as we're awake, we're constantly seeking the Lord for His holiness and His righteousness. And then on the other side, whenever they wake and we're asleep, they're over there doing the same thing. You have a church worldwide. You have people that are not giving the Lord any rest. They're saying, constantly praying, Lord, we want holiness. We want it in our lives. We want it in the world. We want it in the church. Holy, 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 Lord. And also, not just pleading for His holiness, but praising His holiness. Letting the Lord know, Lord, You are holy, You're great, You're perfect, Your wonders are mighty. They rest not, it said, day or night, saying, holy, holy, holy. I just want to look just for a minute. I want to check here in Isaiah 6. Do they say that in this chapter as well? It doesn't say that they rest not, but they do say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. I believe we can say that of a surety, because clear across the world today, here and across the world, all around, there is somebody, and I have faith for this. I believe that there are people everywhere that the Lord looks down and says, oh, that's one of My people right there. They're crying to Me constantly. They're crying for holiness. They're crying for My church. And there's someone else, and there's someone else. The Lord knows those that are His. This morning, it was just the challenge that I wanted to bring from God's Word. Challenge the Lord, or a challenge from the Lord, for us to pray for Zion. Pray for Zion today. Pray for the Lord to mend breaches between people. Pray for the Lord to send laborers. Jesus said that. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He'll send laborers into His harvest. I know a few years ago I had a real burden to pray. There didn't seem like there were very many young men or women that were even responding to a call to preach the gospel, and I couldn't see that for several years. So I began to really pray, and the Lord's been answering those prayers. I just thank the Lord for it. I had such a burden for it, and it's wonderful to see the Lord calling. So He wants us, for Zion's sake, to not give up, to not quit praying. I think one time, what prophet was it? I believe it was Samuel. He said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for You. Is that Samuel? I can't remember which one that was. But he took it very seriously. He took his task of being a prophet to pray for the children of Israel very seriously, in that he felt that he would sin against the Lord. The Lord wants us to take the privilege that we have today to pray, to enter into His labor, to work together with Him in intercession, to take that very seriously, I believe. I don't believe we need to be in a pinch about it. Don't feel like that you've got to constantly leave the room and go off somewhere and have prayer and get all in a... I'm not talking about a life of bondage here. But it is possible for us to make opportunities, even if we're tending to the duties of life, we can still send up little arrow prayers. That's what I call them. Just send up a little arrow to the Lord of either praise or communion. Just talk to Him or bring forth a need that you have come to your mind. Instead of worrying about something, we spend a lot of time thinking about outcomes and how to do stuff and what to say and what has been done and all the problem. We do spend a lot of time about that, and we wouldn't say, oh, I can't think about problems all the time. There is just no time to think about problems. We do. We do think about problems a lot. And the Lord many times reminds me, you're spending so much time thinking about all this. Why don't you just be praying? Just instead of just thinking. Do you all know the difference? I mean, maybe no one goes through this but me, where the Lord comes to you and says, you have been mulling over this, but you've not really been praying. And the Lord will help me be reminded to, Lord, I should be just, I could be availing of the power of God to fix this situation instead of me worrying about it. And that really does work. He says here, give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. I don't want to ever forget the ideal, the goal. God set up a church to be a light. He set up a church to be a city set on a hill. Maybe sometimes I sit down in disgust and gloom and think, this is not that way. Well, then I need to pray. Then I need to ask the Lord, Lord, brighten up my vision. Lord, remind me, and I want to remind you. Begin to remind the Lord, this is what you set it up for. This is what you said. Lord, the enemy's coming in. Think about what Jeremiah said at one point there in Lamentations. He said, children that I swaddled and brought up. Let's see, how was it? I just read that this morning. Those that I swaddled and brought up hath mine enemy consumed. Many times that's how we feel. Many times we think, oh, we preach to these. We love them as children. We've tended them. We've carefully helped them. And look at them, Lord. Look at where they are. We can remind the Lord, Lord, you have worked with them. You love them. And we can ask Him to go after them. I thank the Lord for the challenge today. Pray for me.